It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm okay today.
You're just okay. Now, yeah, you were in Vegas all weekend. So
I was in Vegas all weekend. There was a It was a weekend for sure. I don't want to get into it right now because, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is what the kids
say. I've heard that. I didn't know if that was too cliche, but.
No.
It's the real thing. I've never been. I wouldn't know.
I said to you in a group chat, my analysis of Las Vegas is that the top 1% of all America and the bottom 1% of all America basically said, like, hey, let's start a city together and see what happens.
Let's have a place that we share.
That we both share.
Okay.
Because I was on there this weekend where we had the Golovkin Canelo Alvarez fight.
Yes. Triple G, son.
A NASCAR race.
Okay, for good measure.
It was Mexican Independence Day.
Of course.
And they had a NASCAR. Mr. Olympia was there as well. So it was.
That's a full weekend. I don't know if you can get to all of it.
Somebody was telling me they had 200,000 extra people in the city that weekend, those four things. So that was it was crowded. It was crowed. What else, Stu? Just saying hello to Stu. Yeah, sorry. I know we're recording now.
Yeah, come on. We're in the podcast. We are streaming on Davey's Twitch stream. If you ever want to check us out, twitch.tv/rvonD. I just want to say quickly, this weekend we were at Idle Hands for Oktoberfest, Ryan. Mm-hmm. And shout out to a friend of the podcast, Dr. Joe, who is in the chat right now, and he also was the co-champion of the Steinhoisting competition.
Steinhoister, Backcracker, what's up, kid?
It was pretty intense. These huge like mugs, and then they filled them with water only because, you know, people are shaking and they're spilling everywhere. Yeah. So it made sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's like at least 5.5 pounds, and they had one in each arm. They had to go straight out as long as they could. It was pretty intense. So.
Yeah, and I saw him. He had he's a chiropractor. I know he just moved away from the mic, but he just had like that power stance where he was like to the side.
Oh, he was
like,
locked in.
Yeah, he was locked in. The other guy was like making this face like he smelled like a fart or something.
Oh, it was a problem. Yeah, they were both struggling there. Yeah. They were both struggling a little bit. But anyway, it was a good time at Idle Hands. Always a good time.
Sorry I couldn't be there.
Ryan, it's an action-packed episode. So what do you say we get to the news?
Let's hit it.
Captain Marvel trailer, Ryan. Brie Larson was on Good Morning America, which is still a show in the morning. And so we thought we were going to get a trailer like a week ago. And so we got some images from Entertainment Weekly, which were fine. What did you think of the trailer?
I think it looks good. And I love that we had a couple different looks at Captain Marvel, which is nice. You had her with the helmet on with like a little bit of the mohawk.
Yeah.
You had her with like, you know, just regular, Brie Larson looking, you know,
she's rocking the Nine Inch Nails gear.
I liked, you know, we get Two Eye Nick Fury, which is exciting.
A young pop of a Nick Fury, 1990s Nick Fury, which you also, the thing opens up on a Blockbuster and you're like, all right.
Yeah. She crashes through the ceilings of a Blockbuster video. Yeah. And the immediate thought that I had was that like Goo is going to have a real problem if she crashed through. What's his favorite rental? It's like Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. It's like an anti-drug campaign. That he rented like so many times. Like if she broke that, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. I was hoping that you just get her like walking out of a screening of Scream and she could be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. Suck on that, Arvon Don.
That's another, I think we are 6 weeks in a row where you have referenced the movie Scream.
And we are going to do a full breakdown of Scream each and every week of Hashtag Dorktober 3 Season of the Witch, which is just around the corner, Ryan. Are you excited for that, sir?
I'm very excited for that. And I'm excited to, there was a bit of a hostile takeover at Hashtag Dork right now where speaking of Goo, is trying to step on my funk and get in on this podcast and try to upstage me and do his Halloween thing.
Well, he is a big Halloween guy, so I think we're gonna have him in. We might mix him in. We'll have a three-man weave here.
I see how it is. I see what's going on.
Nobody's trying to replace
Ryan's
you.
While you're moving me,
very sensitive.
You're moving me to mid-morning podcast. That's what's happening.
You're gonna have to get over that. All right. Nobody wants to hear you cry about it.
I don't even watch the games.
Get over it, you baby. Hey, the other thing is Captain Marvel, if you had to compare it to after you saw the first trailer,
yep.
when you saw Doctor Strange trailer, when you saw Black Panther trailer and Spider-Man trailer. Well, you maybe a little bit different for you with Spider-Man.
Yep.
So Black Panther and Doctor Strange and then Captain Marvel. Similar, you liked one of them more, one of them less. What do you think of that?
I'm only interested in this movie, and I know I say only, but I'm very interested in this movie. Not for this movie alone, but what's coming next. So, like, what happens? Yeah. Like, this is so critical to, like, the next Avengers
How
movie.
How on earth, and we've been talking about this since the end credit scene in Infinity War.
Yeah.
How on earth are they going to justify that Captain Marvel has been missing or been gone for all this time, and they didn't reach out to her during Loki's attack on New York or Ultron mm-hmm. or any of this other nonsense? How the hell are they going to explain that?
Well, it seems as though in the trailer that she's got a lot to figure out. Like, she doesn't really remember whether or not she was a human or not.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's like true. A lot of stuff. So maybe she's like, I need some, you know, I just need some space to, I need some time to figure things out, which several women have said to me in my lifetime before.
That's
and
then
I never heard from them again. So
you got to process that a little bit.
Yeah. When they're like, I just need some space, I'll call you. And then I never hear from them again. That's happened. But that's okay.
That's in the, it's in the past too. That was back in the 90s probably.
And I don't and I don't cry.
No, your boys don't cry. I saw that movie.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You're crying.
I'm not crying. It's the lighting in here. What that is.
Sure.
But I am, it's like, it's an MCU movie and they haven't had any real stinkers in a long time, but I'm not like jazzed up about it. I didn't see that. And I was like, ooh, counting down the days. Let's make a paper chain and rip one off every day. Like, I'm not there.
I don't have an advent calendar for this, for this movie. No.
Advil. Well, they can't all be winners.
That's a bad Santa reference, isn't it?
Sure it is.
Yeah, sure it is.
Sure it is.
Sure it is. Yep.
Hey, Ryan, you ready to move on to something else?
Let's hit it.
Henry Cavill out as Superman.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because someone said on Twitter, or I think you might have said it too, like, why am I bothering seeing Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman 2? Like, why see these movies now?
Yeah, no, that wasn't me, but that was somebody that was smart. Like, it's a good question. Like, what are we doing here? What is your universe? Is it anything? Is it something? Is it nothing? I think it's like, nothing.
And you have to, is it something or is it nothing?
And then did you see his, well, it's not, I mean, it's not nothing. Yeah. Did you see his little, like, Instagram post?
No, I didn't see it.
I mean, excuse me for the language here. The fuck was that? He, like, was playing some music and he, like, was holding up, like a Superman, like action figure. I couldn't explain it. I don't know what was going on because there was all kinds of speculation that he was out. And then I guess he confirmed it in a very weird video. I don't know. I'm like, good riddance, man. Like, he was fine, but
yeah,
I never even liked Man of Steel, let alone the other movies. So
I think you've maxed out what Superman can do on camera. And that was done in like the early 80s, late 70s. I think you're done. I think Superman's done.
Who would you like to be Superman now? I know you say he's done, but they're going to recast him. They're going to keep going somehow. Who would you like to see? And don't say Dean Cain, because that's my pick.
That's Dean Cain. I don't know.
Did you see the mock-ups, the posters that people are making with a certain Michael B. Jordan?
That would be, well, I think he's done. How many superheroes can he play? And play Apollo Creed's son.
He's Creed, he is Killmonger, he is Johnny Storm, and in my fantasies, he is the Red Hood.
See, I would rather see him as a Red Hood.
He'd be a better Red Hood.
I don't know.
Could he be all of them?
He could be. I don't know. I'm sorry for swearing, but I can't do Superman. I'm done with this. I just don't know what they're doing. You know, I'm frustrated.
You're flummoxed. You're all twisted up because the DCEU is going to have that effect. Speaking of the DC, did you see the first early images of Joaquin Phoenix as Joker?
Jaquin? Yeah, that looks odd. It was very off-putting. I was unsettled by that picture.
I was also unsettled, but I think that's good.
That's good.
You're supposed to be unsettled by the Joker.
Now, this is a Todd Phillips movie, the guy who directed Old School.
Yes.
Which we mentioned last week. So I'm intrigued of what, and comedy guys have been on a roll with like not being in their genre recently.
Yeah, with everything. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what this is all about. Like there's that fine line between like, and this is great for the Joker. There's like comedy and then there's like really like odd behavior.
What if it was just an hour and a half of him doing stand up?
And he's just like the failed comedian Joker. Yeah, that would be a bit of a letdown.
I'm like, oh man, that should have just been like a Netflix special. Or what if they did that? They released an hour of his stand up material, which was pretty bad. Maybe even like James Gunn like jokes. And then you're just like, this isn't going to work for this guy. And then they spin that off into a feature film.
See, what I always liked about the Joker is that he had so many origin stories that he essentially didn't have an origin story, which is like the exact opposite of Batman. Like Batman's origin story is well established. He never shuts up about it. No one ever shuts up about it. Yeah. And the Joker was like, someone's like in the Dark Knight, where like Heath Ledger tells like three different stories.
It's amazing
how he got the scars. And people are like, well, which one's true? In my eyes, it was like none of them. Like none of them are.
Right.
He tells it differently every time. Yeah.
That's why Scott Snyder, who's one of the best Batman writers, on Twitter, he said that he like retweeted the image of Joaquin Phoenix, and he was like, he's like, I'm so like fascinated by this because an origin story for the Joker should not work.
No,
like it shouldn't work. However, he's like, with the players involved here, he's like, you got to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah. And I thought that
good luck.
The Alan Moore, you know, the Killing Joke, when they had that origin of the Joker, that worked for that story.
Yeah. But even then I was like, Alan Moore is a genius and that's a good book. I like it. But you're also like, it's like Michael Myers. Does Michael Myers really need a whole backstory?
I guess not. But I love the line. He's like, the difference between me and you is like one bad day. Like that's the difference between me and you.
Right.
And that's like one bad day of him being the Red Hood.
Yes,
I don't want to spoil. Sure. But if you haven't read The Killing Joke yet, please do.
Yeah, you might want to get on that if you haven't had a chance. But. Speaking of Batman, Ryan, did you see that John Hamm from AMC's Mad Men is interested in being Batman? He wants to play Batman?
I'm interested in him being Batman. I think he would be he's a little old, but he's a very serviceable Batman.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just swapping him out for Ben Affleck, you could do it. They're probably similar age.
And he's got some dramatic chops.
Bruce Wayne.
He'd be a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, a bit of a Coxman.
Is he handsome?
You think he's a Coxman?
Oh, I don't want to get into his personal life, but
no, that's probably
fair. I could tell you that, you know, if you Google it, I'm sure you'll find something worthwhile. You know, my wife is a big fan, and I'm getting her to see a Batman movie. You know, if I tell her John Hamm,
it's a lot easier now.
So
like the old, did you ever see when he was on with Michael Bublé? He and, they're on SNL and they had a whole thing called Ham and Bubbly. And like, he just kept screaming at Bubbly. It was pretty funny.
He's amazing.
He's like funny. It's pretty good. Yeah, SNL. He's funny. He's got that in him. Ryan, I don't know if you saw this, that one of the new Netflix shows coming out is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And they released a teaser. And actually this ties in quite nicely because the girl who's playing Sabrina, the teenage witch, was John Hamm's daughter in Mad Men.
Yeah, how about that? And fun fact, on that show, she went to Miss Porter's school, which just happens to be right down the road down there, about 3 miles down the road that way.
Can't stump us in trivia, can you?
Can't stump us in trivia. Nope. Also the school of Jackie Kennedy. Jackie owned, so she went to
pick up the pod.
Miss Porter's. like 40 years ago. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, still, nonetheless. Last bit of news I have, Ryan. Again, it ties right directly into Batman, but the show Titans, that was, of course, the show, remember, where Dick Grayson uttered the quote, fuck Batman, and I'm quoting.
So yeah, just quoting, yeah.
They had a little teaser for the show, about 30 seconds, where Dick Grayson and Jason Todd interact. So Dick Grayson has already moved on, and Jason Todd is now the new Robin.
They have that like little quippy thing where he's like, he lets you drive the car.
Yeah.
Like you never let Dick drive the car.
Mm-hmm. And you go to tell Jason Todd's a little bit of a prick. Like, yeah. So it's, I mean, he's good. So we'll see. I don't know who that kid is.
I hope they play that up. Everyone hates Jason Todd. Worst Robin ever.
Until he became
the Red Hood, but he wasn't, when he was Robin, he stunk. And the fans actually voted to kill him.
That is correct.
So there we go.
Joker killed him with a crowbar. All right, Ryan, let's every non-Spider-Man video game news. Let's get to that right now.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
Uh, is there any other video game news going on right now? There's obviously some things going on. So speaking of the DLC has already been announced, City That Never Sleeps. So if you finish Spider-Man, please know that your adventure is not over. It is certainly not. There's a lot of stuff I got to do right after we finish this podcast. But one of them is getting this DLC where you can actually, you go up against the Black Cat. She seems to be the main villain in the story. So that's, you see a little bit of her in the game. That's not a spoiler. No. Indirectly, she's not there, you know, but this DLC, which you've seen, she's going to show up. And they have plans for more, which is great. So you're not done with this yet. On Friday, NHL 19 came out. That is probably my favorite of all, since 1994 is my favorite NHL game of all time. Widely regarded as the greatest lineup in any sports game ever.
Yes, 94 is amazing. I'm partial to 95. I spent more time playing 95, but those two, I think, are the best ever.
If you look at the all-star teams, I think, I'm not kidding, I think
it's like all Hall of Famers.
90% of them are in the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. Yes, like, you have Gretzky, Lemieux. Gretzky on the Kings, Lemieux, Fedorov, like
Coffee.
Fedorov was like a rookie then. Or no, he wasn't a rookie, but like he was young. Pavel Bure,
crazy, awesome in it.
Yeah. So that came out. So that's a nice little game. Let's see what else I have notes here. Red Dead is coming out at the end of this month, so be aware of that.
I'm very excited for that.
I am very excited. The problem is with this month is like there's so much stuff coming out within the next 3 months.
I know. I was like, man, the NHL is already out. I'm like, I want to get it, but like I'm still playing Spider-Man. Like, we got to get our Tekken tournament. We got to get to that at some point.
That done. That and then Fire Pro Wrestling is still awesome. What else we got? So you have the Black Ops 4 beta blackout. They did the Battle Royale, and I'm telling you, man, I don't play Battle Royale games. I don't like Fortnite. PUBG is like very difficult to play. This is like a polished version of PUBG. You don't have to build. It's first person shooting, and it is slick. So like, I might actually play this game. I was resistant of it. I wasn't all about it, but it's called Blackout, and it's pretty cool.
So, Ryan, I also noticed that today Mario Kart was trending. Do you want to explain why that was trending?
I certainly do. So Stormy Daniels' book is coming out. We don't get political. We don't get political on Dork Podcast. I'm just repeating what somebody said.
You don't have to explain why. I think video games are in the news. They're not in the news.
So what she said was that the president of the United States, Little Donnie, resembled the Toadstool character from Mario Kart. Now, I cannot think of a worse insult, not only because that means that you're that's not a good thing to say about anybody's wanger, as we would say.
Wangers on the glass at the Alano Club?
Wangers. But I would say that Toad might be one of the worst Mario Kart characters in the land. So...
If I had to describe my own,
I don't think we want to do this.
No,
I don't think we want to do this.
Any Nintendo character? No, maybe not.
I don't think we want to do that. We don't want to work.
It's not Koopa Troopa. So move on.
It's not. Move on.
It's not Koopa Troopa. I know that's what you're here for.
It's not one of the like Baby Mario. It's not Baby Mario. So we're moving on.
It's any character after someone uses the lightning bolt.
That would have been good. But to say that anything on, like, people tell, like, someone said I looked like Toad, like me as a person, I might want to jump off a building. But
it's a tough look.
It's a tough, tough look.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's that, Ryan. What do you say we get to the topic du jour?
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. I got a Toad on the brain now.
No, so I don't. We're not going to talk about Toad the rest of the podcast. Okay. That's a promise. Dead Ryan. We are going to talk about Spider-Man for the PS4 and only the PS4. We're going to begin spoiler free. And I think some people that haven't played the game at all, they may not want to know all the villains that are involved and all the different storylines. So we're going to do spoiler free and then spoiler full.
Yep.
So we start like we always do, spoiler free, whether it's a movie, TV show, or now video game. Ryan Davey, did you like it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, is a bear shit in the woods? I mean,
I'm pretty sure they do.
I'm pretty sure they do.
So yes, I did. Thumbs. They don't. Okay.
I absolutely did. I have not had this much fun playing a video game in a very, very long time.
Well, that's really good to hear. That really feels nice.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. How would you describe, Ryan, the video game expert, the gameplay?
Razor sharp.
Oh, like, smooth.
Unbelievably smooth. And I think that one of the best aspects of the game was the controls were like it. And this is going to sound dumb. Like, people were saying in the review that, like, it's the closest you'll ever feel like you're Spider-Man. Like, this is the closest you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it was like,
The web swinging is perfect, isn't it? Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. And not only that, but like right out of the gate, like you just start doing it and you're like, oh, this feels nice. But the more it becomes like instinct within like the first hour.
Yeah.
Like, you are just like, and you're going like literally 100 miles an hour and just making moves on the fly, and you just, It's incredible.
They made it really easy too. And it's very fluid. And if you're web swinging, that's easy enough to do, and you can go really fast at some points, but there's also like room for error. So say like you cut a corner too short or whatever, and you stick on the wall, then you're Spider-Man. So you stick on the wall, you can run up buildings, you can crawl up buildings, you can do whatever you want, all different ways to do it. Everybody, I'm sure, has their own style, like on how they swing through the city or how they, you know, zip line through everywhere. So that is really good. The other thing that I was impressed with, and this is sort of like a minor thing, but we'll get into in spoilers all the different suits. But one of the things is you can switch suits, and it is so seamless and so quick. Like, there's no loading screen for like, you pause it, switch, and then you immediately switch no matter where you are. And then it just picks up from wherever you stop.
And it's just one of those little things that it's just like they nailed it. And like you said, the free flowing movement of the swinging in the old Spider-Man games, if you hit like the side of a building, you would like stop and you would just be like hanging there like this. This one, like, you actually, like, you could swing directly into a building and you would just take off running like up the building.
Yeah.
Like, that made a world of difference, like a world of difference in the game.
I also like too how, you know, similar to the Batman stories, like somebody might call you and like you'll be on the phone or not on the phone. You're on whatever. You're on like your wireless. Yeah. You're talking through your suit and you're talking to somebody. But then you might interact with something else, like another mission or another something, or like a landmark or whatever stuff you're looking for. And the game doesn't like freak out. Like, you're still talking to the person.
Yeah.
And like, it all makes sense. It's not like all glitchy or confusing where it could be. It seems like it feels like there are times where maybe you're overloading the game, but you never really are.
And it's crazy to me too that, like, we talked about this last time, they actually recorded two sets of audio for the game.
Yeah,
so it's
right,
like,
right.
So it's like Spider-Man is exerting himself. So he's like, he's talking to someone, he's kind of breathing heavy. And then when you stop and you start walking, he's fine.
Yeah.
It's like the most amazing thing to me. Like, that amount of thought went into this.
Then what's also cool is, this is just a stupid thing, but when you're at the load screen, like to start the game, whatever suit you left Spider-Man in, that's the one he's wearing. So it's so custom to your game. It's not like here's a generic, like, oh, here's a random suit. It's like, that's the one that you're wearing.
Yeah.
And then what's also helpful is, as you're waiting to play the game, it gives you like a few tips. So like, some of it you figure out on your own, but other things that sort of the game tells you, like, oh, do this and that helps, and another way to attack, and, you know, everything else.
And usually I'm annoyed by that. Like, all right, I know how to fight. Like, it's fine. But there's so much you can do. And speaking of gameplay, like the combat in this game, there's so much that you can do that, like, you actually have to be like reminded.
That happened to me sometimes where I was fighting in the same way over and over again. And I'm like, there are so many other things I could be doing. And so every once in a while, it'll point out like, oh, do this and you can shoot the webs, or you can like all these other little gadgets you can shoot. And so, how would you compare it? Because there's obviously a lot of overlap between the Arkham series with Batman, but just the fighting for now, how do you think the Spider-Man and the Batman fighting are?
To me, it's apples and oranges, because it's two completely different styles, where like Batman is like brawling, like kind of like, in, like, you know, he's got his hands up and he's like, he's boxing and then kicking and whatever. This, I had the most success like dodging. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, the dodging is really good in this.
Going ring with the webs going off and flipping and doing, you know, throwing firebombs and, you know, but all that
stuff.
The
one thing that's similar is there's a lot of scenes, or there's a lot of parts of the game where you find yourself surrounded by bad guys. and you do fight him similar to Batman, where Batman might, you know, you might isolate one guy, kind of fight him with like a combo, and then turn and fight another guy. So there is some of that, but it did feel like Spider-Man allowed you to do a few more things. I think the webbing is just badass.
Yeah, and the Spidey sense was a huge help, and you could time it perfectly. So I once you unlock an ability, once you if you dodge something perfectly, like everything slows down for a second, and you can kind of like survey the room. But this, I love the variety of enemies as well. It wasn't just, you know, guys coming in with, you know, like shock batons, you know, or
just guys fists. With shields, guys with different guns. Like one guy had like a rocket launcher. Like there's just all kinds of those.
And snipers, like they were a huge problem.
And like, cause you can try to, you know, take out a bunch of guys with stealth, and then it gets to a point where that's out of the cards. And then you go from there. So it's really good. What do you think of the story? And again, we'll get into more of like who you're fighting in the spoiler portion of it, but just from start to finish, what do you think of the story?
It was exactly what I wanted, in that it was not a story I had heard before. It was a completely new story, a completely new Spider-Man. And I love that they didn't do the whole origin thing. They kind of give it to you along the way, just kind of fill you in. Like if you don't already know who Spider-Man is, like, why are you playing this game? But a completely original story and a good one.
It was a really good story. Like you could see that being, it couldn't be a movie because it would be, there's too many villains and too many characters. But like, if you said that was just a TV show and you didn't even get to play, you just get to sit and watch it, I think it'd be pretty successful.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. And the voice acting was great.
The other thing too, which I liked, was the play. They didn't like blow their load on like all the villains and like all, cause like Spider-Man has a pretty in-depth universe that he's in.
Yes.
And so they gave you a lot. They don't get me wrong. They gave you a lot, but there's also room to grow and room to have other games.
Right. And I think we're going to be comparing Batman and Spider-Man for a long time.
I think so.
I would say the Rogues Gallery of Spider-Man is not as good as Batman, but it's the best of the Marvel universe.
It's second best. I think the X-Men have some good villains, obviously highlighted by Magneto, but then it probably isn't as deep as Spider-Man's.
Right. You Spider-Man's got a deep bull. He goes deep in the bullpen.
He's got a real deep bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we sort of hit on a little bit in gameplay, but the graphics are pretty off the charts. I mean, you're in New York City and they do such a cool job of real New York City landmarks and then also like Marvel Universe landmarks, and they intertwine them. And in that regard, it's flawless. Like in that regard, it's better than the Batman games because this is a real city and there's so much attention to detail.
And it's unbelievable. Like, so the only thing that sticks out is like the Avengers Tower. Like you see that
That's awesome.
Immediately. Yeah. Cause it's like the biggest building in the city. So like you see that immediately, but like you said, they perfectly weave in like, and obviously this isn't a spoiler. You can see this, you go on like Twitter and look at anyone's photo mode. Like, and I told the story, I was swinging around. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And I landed on a building and I'm like, I did like the look over the shoulder and I was like, oh snap. Like I'm on the Sanctum Sanctorum. Like you know what I mean? Like it just like show. I didn't know it was there.
Yep.
And like, oh, and that's how I found it. Is I actually landed on it by accident.
Here we are.
Yeah. I'm like the big window. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Now look at that. You know.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. What did you think of? Now, obviously, we've been playing kind of nonstop for a while, but the whole idea of like replayability, like I know there's the download, like the upcoming download stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I would say it's a game too that. Maybe some people are already like this anyway, but it really forces you to want to complete it. You know, for example, there are some games where you're like, I'll beat the story mode. That's great. Like for me, I'm like, I'll get as many Riddler statues or whatever as possible, but I'm not going to kill myself to get all of them. Like I'm just not, because some of them are just like too annoying. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Whereas Spider-Man, it's challenging enough where it's not just like super easy, but I also had it on like the middle difficulty, but it's also, there's enough of it where you want to beat the whole game. You want 100% this game for some reason.
And that's it. So when I played the Arkham games, the issue I had, the only issue I had with that was those Riddler trophies. First of all, there were so many of them.
There's a million of them. And some of them were like painful to get.
Yeah. And you're just like, this is, and not like hard as in like, I couldn't figure it out, but like actually hard to do.
Yeah.
like the timing of them. And I said this before, like the difference between the two is, while I think Arkham City is a better game start to finish, soup to nuts.
Yeah.
It's a better game.
Yeah.
So this one is way more fun. Like every side mission I actually want to do.
Yeah.
I want to play the new game plus. I want to play the DLC. I want to unlock every suit and every ability because, like, I'm just, it's just fun.
It is. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's definitely fun. And with all the side stuff, like there's enough of them where, so again, going back to the Riddler trophies, just cause they stick out to me. Like that was one thing. And like that could get tedious. Whereas in Spider-Man, there are a lot of different things and you can spread them out. Like you're like, I'm going to do a couple of these and then I'm going to move on and do a couple of these and search for this and do these missions, like all these side missions, but you can space them out. So you're not just like, oh my Christ, another one of these, like another one of these. No,
it's something else. Like I can't say enough about this game.
So I think fair to say your hashtag dork score on the game.
6 out of 6. Hard
six over
rock
here.
Hard.
Rock hard six rock as well. Hard. Yeah. Anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on?
If you haven't picked this game up, if you're on the fence about picking up this game, I think there are 3 or 4 games that could rival this as like a game of the year. I think God of War is awesome. I think The Last of Us is going to be awesome. That's another game that's coming out that we haven't even touched yet.
That's right.
Red Dead, you know, these games are going to be incredible, but like this is a must play game.
It's a must play. There's no doubt about it. And
if you are listening to this podcast right now and enjoy this podcast,
yeah, you've probably already played. Actually,
you need to play. Yeah,
This is one of those where, like, if you don't have a PlayStation 4, you would just feel so left out. It's that type of game.
So I work in a high school.
Yes,
and all of these children I work with are like diehard like Xbox fans. Like I would say like 90% of the kids here. And I think it's because they grew up with Xbox.
Yeah.
Like Xbox is like much more accessible for kids. In that you can do like all sorts of like multimedia things. Like it's easier.
Okay.
Whereas, and now they're all like jumping ship. Like every kid is like, I want a PlayStation now.
It's just, it's great. And me and Davey got through the whole thing in about a week, which that was too much. Like I was just playing it nonstop. I was playing it like around the clock.
And not only that, but like I said, you know, I was, when you asked me how I was at the beginning of the podcast, I'm like, you know, it's a little bittersweet. Like I didn't want to finish
it. But then I was like, well, we're going to talk about it. I'm like, let me at least get through the story mode. So right now, I think last check I was 84% through the game.
I'm around the same thing. Yeah. I might be a smidge higher, but
so like I got a little bit more to play at least, and a little more things you can do, but you're like, you know, the game's over. That's a sad day.
But it isn't.
All right, let's get the spoilers. Spoilers. We're not going to put the alarm in just because I got to do that actually now. So just spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you are watching the stream right now and you don't want to hear spoilers, what I would recommend and ask you wholeheartedly to do is not jump ship on the stream, but just put it on mute.
Oh, for God's sake.
Just mute it.
Yeah.
Just mute it and I'll wave my hands when it's time to come back in.
All right, fine. Very good. Let's start with the villains, Ryan, like the villains who were in and who were not in the game.
Yep.
And I think those are the most interesting things to me, and especially the most spoilerly things would be what characters they decided to showcase, what characters they kind of referenced, and then what characters weren't in the game at all.
Yep.
Let's start out with, when I ask you, I think especially of all people, but forget the game for a second. I just said Spider-Man, his number one villain is who?
Green Goblin.
I agree completely. And so Oscorp, the whole building is there. It's sort of an overriding theme of the whole story mode is Oscorp and Norman Osborn. But you only see him as Norman Osborn. You see the helmet at one point. You see some of the other stuff. But they're basically setting up Green Goblin, who I agree with you, is the number one villain, more for the sequel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it sets it up like perfectly.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like I just can't, but it was great to see. I'm just like blown away. I'm going to combust. Like it was just
really cool. And like, as the later the game was going on and I'm like, they're not going to drop Green Goblin on us now. Are they?
No, and they couldn't. And they didn't. And it was the perfect move.
Yeah, it was.
It was the perfect move because you got just enough of it because we're in the spoilers. So
yes,
making sure we're in the spoilers.
Yes, we are.
So in the last cutscene where he's talking to Harry, and there's the green light like on his face, like something soup, and like the part where Mary Jane like picks up the mask Uh-huh. Like you see the mask on his desk and you pick it up and she's like looking around with it.
I know. And she's like, oh, what is this? Like a helmet? I'm like, put it down. Put it down.
It's going to stick to your face.
So you just mentioned it there. We'll get back to the villains here in a second. But The other two playable characters within the game were Mary Jane Watson and Miles Morales, which is cool. What did you think of using Mary Jane?
I liked it. Until the very end, because there was one mission, her last mission, where she's in Norman Osborn's apartment.
The one with the stun gun?
The one with the stun gun.
Okay.
I'm sure this was done on purpose, and I'm sure I might be the only one who thought this, but it broke up like an incredibly tense and incredibly like super important part of the game.
Yeah,
where I was thinking, like, okay, I got to get to the next. There was like a sense of urgency, and then that kind of like
and stopped. Then you had to play that because that's one of those things where it's not like Grand Theft Auto 5 where you just like bounce from character to character like whenever you want. This was, you know, you're playing as Spider-Man, and then you're like, all right, now you're Mary Jane. And I thought both the Mary Jane and the Miles stuff was cool. I thought it was a little overused. Like before Mary Jane got the stun gun. They don't have any weapons, so they're very limited. So you're basically just sneaking up behind people, distracting them, and going from, like, you know, behind the wall, behind the wall, behind the wall. So I'm glad it was in the game. I think they each could have been done less, like once or twice less.
I totally agree, but I love the character development. I love establishing those two characters later on.
Yes.
Because I think they're, like, I would play, like, a Mary Jane DLC. I would definitely play a Miles Morales DLC.
For sure. Yeah. And the Mary Jane thing, like to your point before about how the game doesn't start with Peter Parker getting bit by a spider. And in fact, Mary Jane already knows he's Spider-Man. So it's like, you know, that this sort of picks up, like he's still young, but he's not in high school. Like he's had jobs and like, so, and he's working for Dr. Ock, which we'll get to, which is awesome. But one of the first villains you actually fight is the Kingpin. Which is good because he's a Daredevil villain too, but he's definitely a Spider-Man villain. So I'm glad they used him early on.
And once they did the Raph breakout, I thought it was really good that you didn't see him.
Yeah.
Like you didn't see what happened to him because he was like, he's out now. You just assume that he's out.
And there's Fisk stuff all over the city, which is great. And they reference him later on, but he's a good way to start. Some of the other like minor guys, like, let me know what you thought of Taskmaster, Screwball, and Tombstone.
So I liked all three, obviously. I thought the Screwball missions were a little bit screwy.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, this is like, I kind of saw what was coming and I'm like, okay, like this is going to turn on me eventually. I like, when you're playing Taskmaster, he even says at one point, he's like, I've taken on the Avengers. Like, who do you think you are? Like,
that's a good reference,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, you fight him a couple times and he's learning. Like he gets better every time you fight him.
And then he does, like there's one time where he's doing everything that you do. Like, so if the other thing we didn't mention in the, the fighting, like the combat style was I loved throwing shit. Like I loved like L1, R1 and you'd find like a can or like whatever, like around and you would spin it around and like take out a bunch of guys. That was great. But if you did that, the Taskmaster, he'd throw something back to you.
And I love, the finishers. Are awesome too. Yes,
finishers were great.
Yeah.
So that was good. Tombstone, you had him in there early on, big son of a bitch as big well.
Old, kind of a Solomon Grundy. I love how they made him like a biker. You know what I mean? So like they,
that's another thing. And that's not, this isn't the game's fault at all, but there's definitely, again, there's so many parallels to Batman and the villains. But yeah, cause you even mentioned like Solomon Grundy and Tombstone. I was like the Black Cat. The whole thing was Catwoman. It was the whole thing was Catwoman.
But like, you know,
it was cool. But that was a different little thing where she was hiding those cats, and you had to take pictures. A lot of pictures. It's good. He's a photographer, or he was a photographer.
We didn't even get into that. There's the photo mode. I feel like it stole the show.
Photo mode. Like, I was obsessed with it. I'm sure people were getting sick of it on Twitter, but I love it. I love photo mode.
The best one I saw is someone created. Remember the Into the Spider-Verse trailer. Yes. Miles Morales is falling, but it's flipped, so it looks like he's going up.
Oh yeah,
someone recreated that shot.
Oh, that's cool,
and it looked incredible. Like the photo mode, I didn't think I would use it because it's been in a couple other games, and I've never used it. Like really, I did it a couple in The Last of Us, just because that game was unbelievably gorgeous game.
Yeah,
But I use this, the selfie mode is incredible.
Well, selfie mode to me was great because it was doing two things at once. It was like, hey, look at this landmark and look at the suit. Yeah. You know, so it was like a double kind of whammy. And so yeah. I was trying to do like a different suit every time I was in a different picture.
Yeah. And it was the things you find, like the landmarks that you find in the game. Like you had one, it was a great shot of like this. You're like, hey, and it was like Murdoch and.
Oh, Nelson and Murdoch. Nelson and Murdoch. And it's like Alias a tiny just, little yeah. thing near yeah. Josie's bar, which is a good
it's
one.
It's near Josie's bar, right. Which is also near Alias Investigation. So it's like they're like all in the same neighborhood.
Which was awesome.
Like unbelievable.
Because some of them, and we'll get into landmarks too, but some of them were like on the map and like they were part of the achievements for the game. Yeah. And then there were other ones that weren't, but you could find them. So like Alias, there's a spot on the map where you can go find it, but like Nelson or Murdoch, like you got to find that on your own or like stumble yep. upon it or whatever else.
And the best thing was they couldn't use the Wall Street Bull.
Yeah.
Because like they would have got like, they needed like legally, like they couldn't use it. So they used Lockjaw from Inhumans, like the big bulldog.
So the Inhumans are in this universe.
Incredible.
They're in
here. I've said the word incredible and unbelievable way too much this, but I can't stop.
But they,
I can't
they
stop
are.
Myself. Like I know I'm doing it.
You should start.
I know using, I'm being very superlative.
Start switching those out for amazing and spectacular. I think it'd make more sense.
I'll do that.
I think it'd make more sense. What'd you think of the Shocker?
Shocker was a little waste. It was a good low level villain. In the beginning of the game. Yeah, I think it's a good start. It's a good jumping off point.
Throw him in there.
You know, not too much.
One that people may have missed because he's not like, you don't really fight him. He's not like a big deal, but Morgan Michaels is in the game. He works at Oscorp. Mm-hmm. And so in the next game, I would assume he would be Morbius, the living vampire.
Yeah. You do run into him.
So what's also cool is they do like all the bios. So you once you meet a character, they pop up and then you can read the bios, and Peter, he writes like a couple of paragraphs on all these guys. So the one on Morbius, which they don't call him Morbius at all in the game,
never call him Morbius,
but they're like, oh, like he looks kind of pale. And like, he's like, oh, he's doing a lot of research. And you're like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if they surprised DLC you with like a Morbius DLC on Halloween?
Don't tease me.
I wouldn't tease you like that. I wouldn't put that thought in your head.
That would be amazing. That would be good. Then Black Cat, who we mentioned, in Silver Sable, like you kind of battle them, but they're obviously they're who they are. Like they're not really like villains, but like you fight them a little bit. What'd you think of Silver Sable and her whole crew?
I thought that was a little played out, but I was not focused on her at all.
There's a lot of those stations around, like where her dudes that look like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, we get it.
It was a nice little wrinkle that, you know, in the beginning when you're doing the boss, like the base missions, you're doing like you're taking out like bases.
Yeah.
It went from Fisk to the demons to the Silver Sable crew.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it got increasingly more difficult as you did it.
Oh, that's true.
So that was nice.
That's a good point. All right. The Sinister Six, which I believe are the only other six villains that we have not gotten to, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so you see some of them early on. They do a great job. I mean, the Doc Ock stuff is awesome. Like you're working with him and like you as a fan and everybody, you know where it's going, but it's such a good story and about that relationship, what he's working on, what he's like, the sickness that he has, how much respect Peter has for him. And then you're just waiting. You're like, every time you go and talk to him, you're like, is now going to be it?
And it was great to see the progression.
Yeah.
Of what they were working on and like how that, cause you're just like, why would anybody practically need four extra arms?
Right.
But it was nice to see the progression of like, no, we're actually working on prosthetics. We're working on like neural interfaces with prosthetics and how that kind of led down that path. So that was nice. Just to interrupt one second, someone did ask if there was a Stan Lee cameo in the game.
Yes, there was.
The answer is absolutely. And it was perfectly placed and it was incredibly well done.
And was it just me or the graphics on that off the charts? Like the whole game looks good, but he looked like it was like so incredibly clear and like vivid. It was, I mean, I don't know. I'd never seen anything like that. Is this the same graphics as like the other PS4 games? It was crazy.
I think it was Doc Ock at the end in this cutscene when they throw him into the raft and he looks up like into the screen and you could actually see like
his face
pores, like pores and follicles like in his face like that. And I don't even have a PS4 Pro.
No, right.
Like, I don't even play it in 4K, so I can't even imagine
That
would look like.
Probably reach out and touch them.
We should. Yeah, nuts. We should have talked about that with graphics, but
yeah,
good golly,
we'll put that back in.
Yeah.
Now I'm not as big of a Spider-Man guy as you. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I was really unaware of Mr. Negative.
Kind of a minor character, but like someone that you never really showcased before.
And so somebody who's newer, right? Because once he came on the screen, I was like, well, I got to look this guy up. And I think he was new in like the 2000s, right? Like he's not as old school as some of these guys.
I'm going to be wrong and someone's going to annihilate me on Twitter. But like, I think he came out with the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
Remember they did the run of Ultimate? I think he came out then. Right. Like, no, that run of Ultimate Spider-Man, I think.
He wasn't bad. I mean, because, you know, he's working with Aunt May. Mm-hmm. And so like that's fine. Cause like the Sinister Six also, like, there's been different versions of the Six.
Right.
So in this game, like, it was cool that they put six guys together. So Doc Ock is really the final piece of the puzzle. Mr. Negative, mm-hmm. you see throughout the game, and then Electro, Rhino, Scorpion, and Vulture. So these are like four of like the main dude villains.
Like, well-established, well-established villains in this world.
And so I thought all those guys were nice good. And those fight scenes were all pretty fun. Like when you were fighting them two at a time.
Yeah, I wish. Part of me is like, yeah, I didn't have to do it one at a time or twice, two at a time. I wish you could do it one at a time, but that's just me being greedy. Like I get it. Like, it's more difficult to fight two of them at once.
Well, and the way the game was going at one point, I was like, are we not going to fight these guys? Like, they kept kind of like delaying it a little bit, and then you did, and then with Doc Ock too. At first, I was like, oh, this is going to be really easy, and then it wasn't. Like, it was much more challenging fight, and so. Yeah, those were. I could understand why you'd want to fight them individually, but even still, it doesn't have like the hours played like Overwatch does. But there's a lot of game. Like, there's many hours of gameplay there.
I think I was around 20.
That makes
when
sense.
I finished. And that's because I did like 5 hours of. I think story mode is 15 to 17 hours, and then I did like 3-4 hours of whatever.
Yeah. Right. Did you like any of those guys more or less than the others with Vulture, Scorpion, Rhino, Electro, and even throwing Mr. Negative?
I love the character of Vulture.
Yeah.
I think he's just like, if you've ever read noir, he is probably the most like ridiculously grotesque villain in that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Vulture a lot because he's just like this creepy old dude.
And we know he's
I like Rhino.
We know he's in the MCU too, which is great.
Yeah. And Dr. Octopus is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Of Spider-Man villains all right. of all time. So it was, cause you know, when they did the trailer and they showed the raft breakout and in the trailer, Peter Parker looks up and he's like, you, and you didn't know who it was. Mm-hmm. So my guess was either it's either Green Goblin or Dr. Octopus. So I'm glad it was Otto Octavius.
That's awesome. Yeah. So those guys were all good. And then as you get into the MCU, like, you know, Vulture's in there. Scorpion, they sort of allude to Scorpion also. Doc Ock, though, that remains to be seen if they go down that road, right? I don't think they made any announcements on that, right?
They haven't made any announcements of that. All I know is that, like, Far From Home, they're saying that Jake Gyllenhaal is Mysterio, which you didn't get any Mysterio in this.
No, you didn't. And so here's a list of guys that were not.
A little bit. They showed that he was dressed in, like, a Halloween party, like someone was dressed as Mysterio.
Oh, right. What, that thing? Oh, yeah. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 6, or even 0 to 6, if you think that low of it, I'm going to name a character and you tell me, like, 6 being, I really wish they were in the game and they should have been in the game. 1 being like, who cares? Like, whatever. Okay.
Yep.
These were characters that, unless I missed a reference or missed something, were not in the game that I associate directly with Spider-Man. Let's start with Venom.
So I'm just to clarify, my 1 through 6 is how much I wanted them in this game.
Yes.
Okay. In this particular game, not any game in the future.
This game, they should have been in this game, or at least a reference to in this game.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Venom. 5.
Yeah. I'm going 6. Like, I think he's super high on my list for Spider-Man guys.
The only reason I take it down is because I want him more involved. I don't want him mentioned. I don't want him.
No, he did. There's so much.
I want him in.
Yeah. The next one. He better be in the next one. You're really missing out. There was also something that there was a line somewhere where somebody said something to him about a black suit and he made like a comment. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's enough. Maybe people, and again, you can tweet us at Dork Podcast, email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com if I missed any references to these guys anywhere.
So the other thing too is, like, people are saying when at the end, when Harry's in the tank,
yeah,
and that you thought like his hand was going to come out, but it looked like a symbiote.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Okay.
So that could be what's keeping him alive, which could, and the, there was another great reference that you mentioned, the Venom thing when he's like trying to stop the train by like holding the webs.
Spider-Man 2 style.
And he goes, that worked like something like that worked last
that
time
worked before. Or like, that last time. Yeah, that was
it totally worked before.
Spider-Man yeah. 2. Cause at first, as he's doing it, I'm like, no, he's not going to hold it like that. Is he? And then he didn't.
Yeah.
And it's great. All right. What about Carnage?
Carnage 3. You know, I would rather see Venom than see Carnage.
Me too. But I think the next game would make sense. What about Hobgoblin?
Another 3. I think you need to see, we need to see a lot of Green Goblin before we see Hobgoblin.
Now this is one, not really although he was a villain when he was first introduced, or at least for a real anti-hero, a guy who I thought there was going to be something to, that'd just be the Punisher.
Yeah. I think it would be great if he showed up to like help you at one point. Yeah. And then there's like a quip in there that like, it wasn't always this way. Like I probably would have killed you like years ago. I probably would have killed you.
Or even like
something like that.
Even if you just have like his skull spray painted somewhere like in the city, and maybe there is, I know there's like graffiti of other characters.
So he's still going to find it. I mean, it's probably in there somewhere.
All right. This one, this is definitely set up more for the sequel, I would say, but Kraven the Hunter.
Hard 6.
Yeah.
I need Kraven the Hunter. I would say I wouldn't say underrated because those are Spider-Man fans love Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him in the MCU. Like I would love to see that.
That'd be badass. Yeah. I was surprised. No Sandman.
Yeah. Kind of a smaller scale, like Sandman, you know, maybe there's a bad taste in people's mouths from Spider-Man 3, the Raimi one. Maybe they're waiting on that, but, great character. And again, another Batman ripoff of Clayface.
Yeah. I'm lower on the list for Sandman, but I just thought he was going to be
I would say like a 2 or 3 for Sandman.
Same with like Chameleon. Like
whatever.
I believe Chameleon was the first Spider-Man villain. I think he was in Spider-Man 1 or Amazing Fantasy 1 or whatever. I want to say Chameleon. Mm-hmm. Mysterio, you had already mentioned that was not in it.
I would like a 5
be good.
With him. I like Mysterio.
And here's the one that actually I was... Maybe besides Venom, I was the most surprised was not in it, nor was there a reference made at all. That'd be Gwen Stacy.
And there was no mention of her at all. Not that I found yet.
Nothing. Well, yeah, nothing that I saw. And so he's clearly, he's got like a thing with Mary Jane. They were together. They're not together, but they're working together. And like, they obviously have a close chemistry. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought his real true love was Gwen Stacy.
And that's kind of always been the debate. You know, where Mary Jane and Peter have known each other since they were kids. Yeah. And there's that like, but like his first love was Gwen Stacy. So, and then she met her end. Spoiler.
He could not save her.
Yeah. He could not.
So and I that always, was kind of, but like, put it over the top for me was Spider-Man Blue with Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, who did their whole run of all the, like they did Captain America White, Hulk Gray, Daredevil Yellow. And so it's really about like a love interest and, that whole story, which I recommend completely, but both of the women are in there, but it clearly highlights Gwen Stacy, who's dead, but they like, that's who I think his true love was.
I think so too. And I think, it's a different type of relationship that you, cause it gets a little boring at times when, you know, the high school sweetheart angle, like it gets a little boring with Mary Jane, in the books, not in the game, but in the books, it got a little,
right.
You know, cause you knew that somehow they were always going to end up together, but like it had to be, you know, the death of Gwen Stacy that kind of pushed him over the edge, you know? But a great story if you haven't checked that out. But it needs to be a little bit more Gwen. Maybe some Spider-Gwen DLC.
Oh,
get it.
Yes. We're going to do all the suits here coming up as well. But real quick with some of the Easter eggs, right? The landmarks alone are really good. And we mentioned Stan Lee. We mentioned Lockjaw. We mentioned Avengers Tower, The Raft. Yep. There's like a J. Jonah Jameson like radio show. So he pops up and he's always talking shit about Spider-Man.
Which is great. He's got like this like Alex Jones thing going on.
Yeah.
He's just like yelling at people all the time.
You got the Nelson and Murdoch thing. You got Josie's Bar. You got Alias. You got Rand Enterprises. So Iron Fist is involved. Mm-hmm. You got Sanctum Sanctorum, as Davey mentioned, Doctor Strange. The Wakanda Embassy for Black
Panther. Did you go there at night like I told you to?
No. What's at night?
It's lit up purple.
Oh,
like the whole building's like lit up purple. Mm-hmm. And it looks really cool.
That's
cool. But it's just that little plaque that says like the Wakanda Embassy. And then it's like all lit up.
Ah, that is really good. Street. Yeah. And then there's probably more that I'm missing off the top of my head now.
Oh, there's so many.
Of them, right.
Yeah. And these makes like this like quip about the Avengers Tower. Like someone says like, well, they're never there. Like,
yeah.
Well, they have this huge building in the city and they're never there.
Yeah. That's pretty good. You know. Let's get to the suits, that's right?
So the other thing too, one thing I would love to see some more hero interaction as well.
Yeah. In the next one. Like I was surprised. So like when you're having like these big fights, like, and this is, everybody knows my main issue is like, the Netflix characters aren't in the MCU and whatever. And like, if you're going to establish them at times, then you're ignore them. I had a little bit of a problem. Just not a problem, because I understand what the limitations of the game are, but
yeah,
clearly Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Avengers are all in this universe. Right. New York was kind of going to shit there for a little bit, right? Especially and towards like, the end. Help. And like, you're not going to get a hand by any of those guys.
Yeah. And I think, you know, down the road, this is definitely like a Spider-Man game. Like it needed to be his and his alone.
Right.
But it would be nice in the next one to have like a little help.
Yes.
You know,
I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, I got onto the suits.
Well, I'd love to talk about suits right now.
So there's like 28 suits in this game and they're pretty off the charts. So let's do the same thing. Let's go 0 through 6 on each one of these suits. Yep. And then let me know if there's one or two that you used more than any of the other ones as well.
Sure.
So the first one, let's go. This is an alphabetical order. It's actually easy to follow along. If you go to polygon.com, they have an article with all the suits, breaking them down. The first one, it's just called the advanced suit. It's the one that's on the cover of the game. It's made just for the game. It's got the big white spider that takes up the whole chest. I love this one. I thought this was a great
suit. I love this suit. I thought it was from the second I saw it, I never in my life thought that like a white spider would work.
It's awesome.
It's incredible. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's all those
things. And just like the white accents are just, they're great. I thought it was one of the better suits in the game.
I'm going 6 out of 6.
6 out of 6.
All right. The classic suit, which of course made its first appearance in Spider-Man's first appearance. Amazing Fantasy number 15, 1962. This is, like it says, the classic suit. So when you're envisioning Spider-Man or somebody in a Spider-Man costume, this is the one that you think of.
And what a great twist that this is the suit you start off with in the beginning of the game. You think you're going to start with the one that's on the cover, but you don't. You actually start with the classic suit, which was a great move.
Which is awesome. And it gets damaged, too. So there's two different versions. One where like it's all sliced up. I mean, not to start out this way, but that's a 6 out of 6 also.
Also, yeah.
What about, okay, the next one here, again, this is just an alphabetical order, so it's not in the order that you unlock them, but the dark suit, which is like your Spider-Man Deadpool hybrid, which you unlock. Is this the one you unlock after being black?
It's the black cat stuff? It's when you do all the black cat stuff, which is black,
and it has a red unique looking spider that takes up the whole chest, like from like right below the neck all the way to above the waist, and it's got the red eyes.
Really cool suit. It looks great like close up, but a little farther away it looks a little too black. Not my favorite, but cool that it's like a Spider-Man Deadpool suit, which is
right.
Which is nice. And it's got like little claws on it. If you look closely at it, it's got like little black cat claws on it, which is nice.
I'll go 4.
I go 4.
Okay.
4 on that one.
Next one, the electrically insulated suit, which made its debut in Amazing Spider-Man number 425 in 1997. This looks like it's filled with padding. It's like gray with like red accent. It looks like an upside down spider, big white eyes. Not my favorite.
I do like the big eyes, but I would give this one about a 3. I used it a couple times and I was like, didn't blow me away. Just a cool looking suit, but
I'll go three. Fear itself. This is the one that's like, it looks like a glow in the dark blue. It's like the classic like pattern, but then it's got like a weird pants and then like these crazy things on the arm. This one debuted in 2010, odd looking.
Yeah, no, I would give this one. This is probably my least favorite.
Oh, okay.
Even though it was, you know, given to him by like Thor or like Odin, it was made like Uru metal or something like that.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It looks a little too like the Negative suit.
Yes,
you know what I mean. And
it definitely does.
I just didn't not feeling that
it's
one.
It's like a deuce. Deuce. They have the homemade suit, which is great. This is the first one you see in Spider-Man Homecoming where it's like the sweatpants, the high red socks. It's literally the homemade thing from the new movie, little zip up. It's cool that it's in the game. I didn't really use it or anything.
I didn't use it at all. I was like, you know, you get it and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, and then you're like, you keep going.
It's nice that it's in there. Iron Spider. This has got to be one of the more popular ones. Now, this on Polygon, it says this was from Amazing Spider-Man 529 as well as Spider-Man Homecoming. And they say you initially think it's from the Civil War arc, but I guess I guess they tweaked it a little bit. What do you think of this one?
I like this one. And it's a little it was a little too shiny. I think it was a little too metallic.
Yeah, it's real shiny.
It's real shiny. But I... Is this the one you got when you got the when you pre-ordered it? I thought it was a cool, like just a cool suit. I like the perk it came with when the forearm shot out and you can use them fighting.
Yep, that's cool.
So that's the other thing we didn't mention too. Like each of these suits came with their own perk.
Yeah.
This one actually the forearms come out and you can actually fight with them and it actually they do damage. So
and it's, what was cool is you could mix and match them. So like if you liked the forearms, you could do it with a different suit. You didn't have to wear the Iron Spider, which was super cool. The next one is Last Stand. Which it looks like Spider-Man is like a motorcycle dude. It's like a leather jacket. It's red. He's got like black pants. He's wearing boots. Kind of a more classic mask, but everything else looks ridiculous. It's got like gold, these leather gloves. This one's
stinks. Yeah. I like this one, but not a lot. But I like the jacket, but I don't like the pants and I don't the boots and everything like
that. Yeah, it's just like it didn't all matter to me.
I like this arc. I like this story because it's a different world Spider-Man. But yeah, the suit didn't translate to the game as well as I thought it would.
Like a deuce.
Yeah.
Now you got MK2 armor. Was MK Marvel Knights or what is MK? I have no idea.
Mark 2.
Oh, like, Mark 2. All right. Mark 2 armor. Yeah. So this is a all black suit and then gold outline like everywhere, like a huge spider. It's got like lines down like his pants, down his arms, then like these gold, like different looking eyes than you've ever seen. First appearance of this was Amazing Spider-Man 656, 1999. This is a pretty sweet looking suit, I think.
Yeah, this one looks like a race car. Like it just looks like a Bugatti or like a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? Like this. Yeah. So I would give this one about a 4.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'd go 4.5 too. The next one is the Mark III. This thing, he looks like Cyrax from Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling this one. It's not Spider-Man. You know what I mean? So I'd give this one about a deuce too. Like I was like, oh, that's cool they put that in there, but I probably would have picked another suit for that one.
Yeah, they even say the website that we're reading this one from, it says it looks like Red Hood a little bit, and it kind of does, but like there's also like too much going on. Like there's like plated armor on it. Like I don't,
and that's what I mean. It's too bulky.
Yeah.
Like I like it. Not look like Spider-Man. Slim it down.
Then there's the Mark IV armor, which
I like this one. This is one of the ones I use the most.
Yeah. This one looks kind of like Superman, Wonder Woman meets Spider-Man type of thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's kind of like the spider on it is kind of cool, and the eyes, they like glowed, they're like glow in the dark, like green kind of.
Yeah, this one's not bad.
But I thought this is a cool suit. I'd give this one about 4.5, 5.
All right, I'll go 4. The negative suit, we already kind of mentioned. So this looks like almost like Bizarro Venom in the sense that there's like more white than black, but there's both. And then it looks like it's kind of glowy in the dark, big black spider on it. I used this one a decent amount, but it was like too white. Like the pants were like too white.
Yeah. So I it's the negative of the advanced suit, which, cause you can see the things on the hands and everything. So, I never really used this one. Mm. I was like, well, it was a little too on the nose with Mr. Negative being in the game, but I give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I'll go 3. I used it a decent amount. Then there's the noir,
which is one of my personal favorites.
What does he look like here? He looks like one of the like the sand people or something from Star Wars.
No, come on. It's like a
what does he look like? 30s like Gene Erso or something. What does he look? It looks like something
like that. He looks like it's like an old like World War I fighter pilot.
Yeah,
mixed with Han Solo. You know, and just like basically all black.
Yeah.
And he's got a gun on his hip, which is interesting.
And so apparently the Spider-Man Noir is going to be into the Spider-Verse. And I guess Nicolas Cage is going to voice this character.
Yeah. which is interesting. I'm actually pretty psyched to see that. But one of the best Spider-Man arcs, I like it because it's a little bit more gritty. Because you know, shoots people, and again, the Vulture in that is like, he like eats kids.
Oh boy,
like it's get in there. Oh, he's got like these like razor sharp teeth. It's pretty effed.
I'll check it out.
But
check it
out. Yeah, I would give this one a five. I like this one.
This one was cool. I'll go four. The Secret War Black costume. I wore this one a ton when I played. I like this one.
This is a good one.
So this has got this one's a doozy. So if you saw Secret Wars. Or Red Secret Wars, I should say, you would see this one. So he's got like the black mask with like the red web around it, big white eyes. He's got the same thing like on the arms and on the legs. But then the body is black with like a blue on it, like just like a accent blue and the spider's blue. This one was pretty slick. I like this one.
It looks like a precursor to the Miles Morales suit.
Yes.
Where he goes black with red webbing. Yeah. It's like a little bit.
I'm going to go six on this one. I was a big fan.
Four and a half. I didn't use it a ton. I thought I would use it a lot more.
The next one, I'm going to go six as well. That'd be the Scarlet Spider.
Love it.
This is badass.
Love this
one. Looks a little bit, at first you're like Carnage with a cutoff hoodie that's blue. So he's like all red,
yeah.
Big eyes, like Carnage type. And then he's got a big kind of, looks like almost spray painted spider on a blue cutoff hoodie. But it's sick.
It's sick. And, the story, it says on the site that we're looking at now, it's a bit complicated. The short version is that Ben Reilly, who was the Scarlet Spider, was a clone of Peter Parker, and he took the name Ben Reilly after Uncle Ben, and Reilly is May's maiden.
How about that?
So that's where he got the name Ben Reilly. That's just so you know, I don't know if I mentioned this enough. I'm a big Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, you like Spider-Man.
That's where the name Ben Reilly comes
from. That suit first appeared in 1994, Web of Spider-Man number 118. Spider-Punk, I was not a fan of Spider-Punk.
Nah, two, three. I'm like, that's stupid. Fine. But like the perk that came with this where he like plays like some like air guitar and like knocks people back. I thought that was, hard pass.
What do you think of the Spirit Spider where he looks like Ghost Rider? He's like all white and he has a flaming skull.
Yeah, and then I did not touch this one. I saw it and I was like, like I didn't.
Well, that doesn't feel like you're playing Spider.
Actually, the spider on the back is pretty cool.
Mm.
So this one says the alternate reality of Earth 11638 poses the question: what if Uncle Ben never died and inspired Peter Parker to become Spider-Man? This Peter became the Amazing Spider and later died while trying to steal the powers of other spider heroes. He was granted a second chance at life by the Sorcerer Supreme of his universe, Bruce Banner, and thus. The Ghost Spider was born.
Like yeah, I'm out.
I'm out. Two, one. Not my probably my least favorite.
Yeah, I would say I think the punk. I would use Spider Punk less, but Spirit Spider. I'm not a fan of the Stark suit from Captain America: Civil War. I liked it. It's cool. It's exactly like the one in the movie. I've always thought the spider was a little too small, but just I like the suit though overall.
Agree. The eyes are a little too. I like big eyes. I like Todd McFarlane. Todd McFarlane was the first one to draw like the huge eyes.
Yeah.
On Spider-Man. So I like the big eyes.
I'm still going five on this one though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give five. I'll give that a five.
All right, the next one is called Stealth Big Time. This came out in The Amazing Spider-Man number 650. I love this suit. You got big green eyes. The entire suit is black, and then you have some green outline. It almost looks like glow-in-the-dark, kind of really like a fluorescent green. Yep. I love this suit. This is one of the three or four suits I use the most.
I like it too, and he's got like that carbon fiber kind of like on the shoulders and on the knees and everything. So it's got a little bit of armor to it. It's got a really like techno look to it, which I thought was really cool. Great color combinations. Four and a half.
And according to Polygon, this is the suit that was used to counteract the Hobgoblin's sonic screams. So that's pretty cool. There's pretty the neat. Wrestler, which is, you know, like it looks like a luchador with the mask. He's got like a sweater on. Yeah. This is the one that he would wrestle with. Three for me.
Whatever. Yeah, two and a half, three.
Velocity.
Used it a couple times.
Velocity is a new suit. Again, it's kind of too padded. It's like big. It's not exactly Cyrax, but it looks like in that kind of realm.
And the eyes are a little like squinty, but like the thing about this one is the more I used it, the more I like
it. All right.
Where you could, if you ever used this suit and there was a cutscene, you could see that there was like, up close, there were like these cool like inner workings to it, which you don't really see from far away. Like the blue in the spider, like the iridescent thing, if you look at it, it goes like all the way through the suit. Like it doesn't stop with the spider. It goes like down the legs and down the arms. So I thought that was a really cool suit.
Game exclusive.
I give this one a 5.
Yeah, this is
game
exclusive. I'd go 4, but yeah, there's definitely some cool parts to it. And it's
designed for the game.
Right.
And it won't find this in any Spider-Man arc. So that's
cool. This was crazy. So this was also in the game. It's just called Vintage, which it's just the cartoon version. So it's like, if you were playing Roger Rabbit, like, so you have like such realism on like the buildings, and then you have this cartoon character swinging through the city. This was weird. It was like, I played with this guy for like a little while and I was like, all right, it's just kind of looks weird now.
It's hard to look at, but I liked it. I'll give this one a 5. Yeah, I really like this one. I wound up towards the end of the game. I wound up using it a lot.
All right. We got 2099, Amazing Spider-Man number 365, 1992. You know, these future stories, this one's pretty nuts. It's like all blue with like the big red spider, red down the sleeves and like little spikes that stick out the side.
I like the 2099 stuff, the Miguel O'Hara suit. I like it. I didn't use the 2099 suits a ton, but I'm glad they're there. So I'd give these like a 4.
Yeah, so there's two of them, and then the other one's the white version, was pretty sweet. At the end of the game, you unlock just the undies version, so he's wearing like underwear and just the mask, nothing else.
And the it's actually a pretty cool perk that comes with this one, where everyone you hit, like you punch them once and they're dead, but if you get punched once, you're dead. So you get hit once, you're dead. So it's actually a nice little way to play. But you're just in your little like European briefs there, European boxer briefs, which, you know.
Well, then you have another Ryan. Once towards the end of the game, you unlock this bad boy after you beat Doc Ock, called the Anti-Ock. This is on your way to fighting Doc Ock, I should say.
Yes, on your way to fighting him.
You create it. This is another game exclusive, and it looks like a couple of the other suits almost kind of blended together. So this one's all black and it's got the big, it's got like the advanced, like the first suit from the cover of the game. Like that's how big the spider is. And it's the same, you know, style, but it's in yellow, big yellow eyes. And then everything else is black.
It's like you took the big time suit and like cranked it up. Yeah. Like I thought this was and when you first, you see when he's like working in the lab and then you see him put it on, you're like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah,
I think this is a this is the only time that you've seen this suit too. This is another exclusive suit.
Yeah, they made this for so a lot of, I mean, there's something for everybody there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So
those are the show.
Obviously, we talked a little bit about if they make a Spider-Man 2, they should make a Spider-Man 2. We already hit on some of the characters that should probably be in there. What other superhero, Ryan? This is the last thing. What other superhero besides Batman and Spider-Man, do you think a game like this would be great, both with the universe, with their style and everything else?
How about we do a Green Arrow game or a Hawkeye? I would say a Hawkeye game more than a Green Arrow.
Green Arrow.
I love a Hawkeye.
I
love a Hawkeye.
I would like a Green Arrow game. You could do Queen City. You could have them interact with some of the other, you know, Avenger type people, but then also all those DC villains. I think it would be sweet. And
how about an Ant-Man game?
Ant-Man would be fun.
Like this open world where you can get big and you can get small.
Do you think the Flash game would be fun, or do you think they would just get kind of old quick?
Like, what do you do?
You run
like,
fast. I don't know. You eat, you drink, you stink, you row, you boat.
The other people, they say want like an, oh, like they want, apparently Rocksteady's working on an open world Spider-Man game. I mean, a Superman game. Like,
nope.
I'm not, I don't know.
Out.
It's Rocksteady, so I'll play it, but whatever
we have to do.
But it's got to be someone who's like someone who exists in a world. Like, wouldn't it be great if Rocksteady did like a Robbins game?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where like all of them are, so you can play as Dick Grayson, you can play as Jason Todd, you can play as Tim Drake, you can play as Damian Wayne, you can play as what's her name, Carrie Kelly.
Yeah, a Robbins game. I'm in on Robbins game.
Yeah,
I think you solved it. All right, what do you say? Anything else on Spider-Man? Great game.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Spectacular.
Own it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the pick of the podcast.
Pick of the pod.
All right, Ryan. Kick, receive, defer, defend the goal.
I will receive.
Okay.
And I'm very happy that you did not mention this in the news. I'm a little sad you didn't, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. What came out yesterday I watched the very first episode of it, and they are picking up right where they left off. American Vandal season 2 featuring the turd burglar, which, the first episode was good. I watched the first episode, so I'm going to keep checking that out. I don't know if you know the story, but, something happened where they call it the brownout.
Yes. Or the, I saw the trailer
where people do poopy pants, and they went right from peepees to poo poo. And it, you know what? I don't want to live in a world where like poop and peepee jokes.
It has to be funny. It has to.
Remember the time we talked about Toad?
I do.
At the beginning of the
podcast.
We talked about
Toad. Wasn't all that long ago.
That's called a callback. So American Vandal season 2. Check that out.
Thank you. My pick of the podcast is in fact another podcast, Ryan. I don't know the official name of it, but the Natalie Wood story. You know about Natalie Wood?
I do know about Natalie Wood.
I mean, I'd known about it too, but it's one of these conspiracies. Who killed Natalie Wood? And I think
did she fell off a boat? She disappeared on a boat.
So it's insane. So Robert Wagner, who was number 2 in Austin Powers, like that's how we know him, but like he was in like a bunch of TV shows, and he was a pretty popular actor in like the 70s and the 80s. He was like a stud looking dude. So Robert Wagner, Natalie Wood, and Christopher Walken were on a boat and she drowned.
Didn't come back.
Didn't come back on the boat. And there's also another guy who they talked to in this podcast, who was like the captain of the boat or whatever, the guy that like drove him around. Mm-hmm. But it's so bizarre, like all the things that were going on. Like there may have been like a love triangle. Like Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood were obviously married, but they were like, well, was Christopher Walken sleeping with Natalie Wood, or was like Robert Wagner sleeping with Christopher Walken? Yeah, like there's a whole bunch of stuff to this, and I don't think we really understand. Like Natalie Wood was like, at one point they compared her to like Jennifer Lawrence. At one point they compared us like, because she was a child star, and then
and she was like a big up and comer, and she was like on her way
like to be like three Oscar nominations before she was like 30, I think. So she was like big time. And then so like imagine if somebody like that died now, and like two other famous people were like with them, and like
were there, and like they're like, well, I don't know,
and like Robert Wagner is like, it's just so it's interesting. And they talk to
he's out there walking around. Christopher Walken is walking.
Robert Wagner is out there, Christopher walking around this place.
Do you, can I tell a pretty off color joke now that I'm thinking of it? Okay,
probably not. I mean, we're in enough trouble as it is. That's not true.
Are we?
That's not true. No.
What's the opposite of Christopher Reeves? Christopher Walken.
I know. Because I've heard that, and I'm not laughing.
Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken. Get it? Because Walken.
You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Please do that. That's always nice. We're on YouTube.com/DorkPodcast. Twitch. Davey's always be twitching. Davey be twitching. Twitch.tv/ArvonD. Shoot us an email. Next week, Ryan, I don't know if I'm going to be done in time, but we promise the people next week, Luke Cage and Iron Fist season 2 jammed together for one great episode of Dork. You got to get through it. You got to watch these goddamn shows.
I have to in the next 7 days. I have to watch a lot of TV. I put it off.
I'm not even started Iron Fist yet. I'm working my way through Luke Cage.
I'm behind on Saul.
Yeah.
I'm behind on Preacher. I'm behind on. Now I'm going to be behind on American Vandal.
Preacher's done. Watch this. You haven't finished Preacher?
But I haven't. I didn't even start the season.
Oh my god. Anyway,
like I'm way behind. So what? So that'll do it for us.
I thought I was going to have like a catchphrase. What was the catchphrase?
That's the way the news goes.
Another perfect episode, Ryan.